Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Born to love. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Ellie.
How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm thrilled. I'm extra excited for today's episode because it's a very special episode, Ellie.
It's a special episode for a number of reasons. I would say the first reason is that this is our final episode of season one.
Season one finale, guys.
First season wrap up. Right here, right now.
And that's not even the most exciting thing about it. Because it is our season finale, we got, I don't know, maybe our most spectacular guest yet.
I think it is no exaggeration to call him the most him. There's a clue. He's a man. He is our most spectacular guest. And he happens to live in my home. We have Michael Komen. Michael Showbiz Komen. His middle name is Showbiz. His last name is Komen. And he's my husband, the father of my two children. And he also is a writer. But he will be on today to talk about his love of coats and jackets.
Sporty coats and jackets. I can't wait for the listeners to hear. Spoiler, we already recorded the interview. It's a great one. And I'm really looking forward to listening to it again, Ellie.
Scott, I think coats and jackets can be extended. I think the umbrella is soft outerwear. And I think anything that falls under that umbrella is game.
Mm-hmm. Yes, from one of Michael's loves. Yes.
Yeah. Yep, that's exactly right.
Like, he loves coats and jackets. You want to know what I love, Ellie?
Scott, what?
A little TV show, an oldie but a goodie, called Monk.
Okay.
Yes, Tony Shalhoub plays a funny detective who's afraid of everything. I didn't watch it when it came out 20 years ago, but I started watching it recently with my kids, and it might be my new favorite TV show. Have you ever seen Monk, Ellie?
Have I seen Monk? Scott, first of all, not a lot of episodes. But second of all, I watched the movie. There was just a movie out of Monk. Like, everybody, you know, made a year ago or something. So everybody has returned. Older.
Yes.
More seasoned.
Of course.
But the essence of Monk from the few episodes I saw are still in that movie. I loved it. Scott, Tony Shalhoub is fantastic. The show is funny and serious. And I also have to give a shout out. I'm just going to mention this. I've met the creator, Andy Breckman. He is a gem of a person. And don't you always, look, I'm taking your love and I'm running with it. I'm going to give it back
you're
to
just,
you.
You're just turning this into a, I know everybody on Monk. This is my love, Ellie. What? I don't know Andy Breckman.
I've spoken with Andy Breckman. I know who Tony Shalhoub is. I'm familiar with OCD. I know everything there is to know about Monk. No. Listen, I just happen to think Andy Breckman is great. I've only met him a handful of times. It could not please me more to hear you say you love Monk.
Well, Ellie, you mentioned the Monk movie. My excuse, because we've been watching Monk now for, like, I would say 8 weeks on the streaming services, right?
Oh, yeah.
And my excuse for bringing it up this week is I just went to a special Monk event. They had an event in Los Angeles to celebrate the movie. They had a big Monk sign. They had Monk trivia. My kids were through the roof. Last night, we watched a Monk, Ellie, where, let me just lay the mystery on you,
sure,
because it's going to give you a taste for the kind of show that Monk is, aka a great one. At the beginning, we saw the crime. There's a home invasion. An eccentric music producer runs to his panic room with his pet chimpanzee, and the panic room door closes. There's no way in or out. Shots are fired. The panic room door opens, and it turns out that the chimpanzee seems to have shot and murdered his friend and owner.
Oh,
and
my.
Mr. Monk needs to get on the case and prove that the chimp didn't do it. It's a spectacular show.
The monk, he helps the chimp, the monkey. And so, Scott, which makes me think of when you said you went to a Monk event.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded like you went to a Monk event, and then like a vent for a monkey. And then lo and behold, the plot, it's about a chimp.
Yes, that you're mean, absolutely right.
I love words. I love wordplay. I love making jokes about chimps and monkeys. And that's why I love Monk so much. Scott, and I apologize if I misunderstood, this event was set up in celebration of the movie, of its release?
Yes, I think they were trying to promote the movie or something.
As, okay.
If you've been
Fair
to
enough.
Los Angeles, you live in Los Angeles, they do a lot of sort of Hollywood-y kinds of things.
Sure, that's the business.
And this seemed to me to be a sort of one of those where they're trying to get like people to vote for it or something.
Yeah.
But I wasn't there for that game. I was there for the trivia. I was there to get a selfie with a big giant Monk sign. I was there to see the Monk wardrobe, the actual suits that Tony Shalhoub wore on the show for the movie and that were approved by your dear friend, Andy Breckman.
Monk is a series that you just inspired me to go back, not only rewatch the episodes that I've already seen, but to watch the full thing from start to finish. It's exactly the kind of release I would love at the end of the day to get fully in Monk's world and solve cases and be entertained by the colorful characters on screen. And it is also just so fitting because I don't think you plan this, but the reason I know Andy Breckman is through our guest today, Michael Coman.
What?
Okay?
Michael? Oh my God, that's a cosmic connection. What a coincidence. It's karma.
It's karma. The social, the solar eclipse caused it. Scott, I almost called it a social eclipse. What would that look like?
Welcome to my dating life, Ellie.
Hey! Scott, our guest today is no stranger to me because he's my husband. Michael Coman is an Emmy Award-winning television writer and producer. His greatest accomplishment is that he's married to me. Michael, I wrote this by. Michael has written for Late Night with Conan O'Brien, Saturday Night Live, and Girls 5 Eva. And he is the co-creator of the shows Nathan for You and Eagle Heart. Plus, he is a producer and writer on How To with John Wilson. Today, Michael is here to share his love of coats and jackets. And I just, my mind is brimming with the possibilities of what we'll be talking about. Of course, Scott, as you mentioned, we did already record the interview, so I know exactly what we talked about. And let me tell you, the brimming mind brimmed over. It brimmed over with chatter. So, Scott, when we come back, we're going to talk with Michael.
Are we on?
Hey, we're driving the bus, all right? You're a passenger on our wild ride. Okay.
Host me.
Okay, everybody. We are back as promised with the inimitable Michael Coman. Michael, welcome to our podcast.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
You better step it up, Michael.
Well, I hear you talking in the next room.
Shh. For those of us who have video ability, let's look at the difference in our backgrounds. Michael and I are zooming in from the same apartment because we do live together as a married couple. I have the bamboo chair, the janky old lamp, and a lot of child artwork.
Look at the resolution of my image compared to yours. Look at the
yours the is crystal
connection I treat myself to.
In the background of your office, you have a flat screen TV, a very sophisticated work of art. I don't know if that's a sketch.
It seems like a classy person sketch, like from the 19th century, yes. Michael. Yes. What is it?
Yep. Behind me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, hold on.
He doesn't even know. He has all these priceless works of art in his office.
It's just a little sketch that I like. And it's just this little street. I don't know. It looks like it's somewhere in Paris.
All of this to say, Michael's place of work is much nicer and sleeker than what I've been.
Well, where is Scott beaming in from? I mean, it's like 380p.
Calling in from cross country. I guess that my bandwidth isn't wide enough for Michael. I'm so sorry, listeners. Am I coming across as horribly garbled?
It's just, there's this BBC documentary I've been watching about the Soviet Union crumbling, and this is the kind of videotape that they had to smuggle out of the country.
Michael, I'm going to get us back on course here. Okay, you've already derailed us multiple times. Michael, a little bird told me, you are here to talk about your love of coats and jackets. And can I just put it in my own words? I would categorize the things you love as soft outerwear.
Oh.
Would you say that's apt?
I think that is accurate. Yeah. I mean, by little bird, I assume you mean your own annoyance with it.
But yes.
Yes. Our closets are congested with my hobby, I guess, of collecting old sport coats and jackets that I don't need or wear.
It borders on an obsession, right?
I don't think it's an obsession. I think it's a comfort. I think when I get stressed about things, I start looking at outerwear. I don't know where that started.
That was going to be my first question. How did it start?
Well, I noticed that when I would watch movies and I would lose interest in the story, my eyes would just start drifting to the sport coats that the characters are wearing. And that was enough to keep me interested in the movie. And I remember very vividly watching this movie called Flight with Denzel Washington.
Oh, right. Sure.
And it's not a bad movie. I just, at a certain point, I felt like, all right, I see where this is going. And I kind of checked out. And then there was this sport coat that this actor named Bruce Greenwood was wearing. And it was this gray tweedy jacket. And I was like, oh man, that jacket is just, what a nice weight. What a nice cut. And then I zoned out again. And then that jacket comes back later in the movie and I got really excited.
Oh no.
And I couldn't believe it. I was like telling someone, I was like, the jacket's back. And they didn't know what I was talking about. That's when I realized, like, oh, I must really find this interesting. I must really love sport coats.
As you were going on and on about the jacket, I Googled, and you are right. It was Bruce.
On and on. Is that how you speak to most guests? Phrases like on and on.
Ahead of the interview, Michael said, hey, you don't need to speak to me. I think you used the word reverence. You said with the reverence that you use with most guests.
I probably said the basic manners.
But you were right. Ends up being a compliment, Michael, because there is an actor, Bruce Greenwood, who is in Flight. I'm impressed that you remembered the actor who donned the jacket. But so maybe that's where it all started.
It made
started.
A big impression on me.
Yeah, right. Now, we moved 2 years ago, and we just moved apartments, and we needed movers. And one of the moving men remarked to me, not in a judgmental way, though maybe a little bit judgy, that your husband has more clothes than you do.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. I don't think there was anything
professional about it. Oh, it was just an observation. And he didn't...
You keep it to yourself. Movers don't need to make observations about how much clothes I have.
He didn't observe it just once, Michael. He observed it twice.
Well, actually, you're kind of cleaning up the story. What he said, because I've never forgotten it, is that your husband has more clothes than you do. And it's a lot of the same thing over and over again.
It's true.
I'm the opposite of a clothes horse. I buy all my clothes at Costco. So like...
So does my dad. It's a good place.
Are you talking about like sport coats, like blue jackets? Like you have a whole bunch of
yes,
jackets.
But I have to explain. I'm not spending a crazy amount of money on this. What I started doing was buying nice clothing on eBay And it took me a while to figure out what was happening because I didn't wear it that often. I would buy a jacket and I'd put it on. And if it fit, I was really happy. And then I'd put it in a closet and never wear it again. And then I'd do that again. And it started to seem like I felt like, oh, do I have a problem? I shouldn't be doing this. There's no reason for this. But I realized that it's a kind of gambling because what I liked was finding my precise body measurements. And that even then, if it, something looked mathematically like it would fit you, it wouldn't always fit. But if it did,
oh, what fun!
Talking to you about this because it's less expensive than talking to a professional. But I want an answer. I don't know why I would do this. It would thrill me when I would get a notification that the package was going to arrive. I loved opening the package. I loved slipping it on. And when my arms would go through the sleeves, if it hit right at the wrist, and if the shoulders weren't crazy, it was a very satisfying feeling. And that feeling would last for about an hour. But then that it goes away and it's just a piece of clothing. It doesn't look that good. So it's in my closet.
Also, Michael, can I interrupt to point out that you are a comedy writer. You're a television writer. The dress code at work is usually casual back when everybody met in an office anyway. And still now.
You yes, don't I have had a fantasy that I would wear this out.
That's just it. True. You don't have occasion to wear it to the office on a daily basis. And you don't go to many nice dinners. So.
Yes. I'll tell you what I did that the only time I was ever able to use it. I thought that I would walk around New York City in a sport coat and that somehow that would do something for me. I would just be treated with a little wink from the doormen as I passed them in other people's buildings. Just a little nod of appreciation that I was showing a little effort.
Well-dressed women, there's plenty of them. But a well-dressed man, I think, does command attention and respect for that matter.
Maybe. I don't know if in this decade they do. I think there was a time when I look at movies from the 70s, if somebody was wearing a sport coat, just felt like, yeah, okay, he's like a grown man. I don't think it works anymore. But there was one time where I really committed to it. I went to Rome.
Oh, have fun with you.
I was completely alone after we were married. I don't know.
Oh, we were married? Circumstances of this trip were. Yes. We weren't even dating. We were married. Was it a?
I think we were completely married, but without children.
Was it a honeymoon? No. What was it? It was just you.
It was a bit of a honeymoon. You just weren't on.
So to peel back the curtain to the listeners for a little bit, we've been recording the show for about a year now. Our very first guest was Michael Coleman. He was kind enough to donate his time for sort of a dress rehearsal.
Yeah. Well, I'd say it was an honor, but I think you were basically just testing the mics.
Anyway,
I considered it to be more than just testing the mics, Michael. And I'm deeply grateful. That entire conversation was about a vacation that Michael took by himself without Ellie after they were married to Italy.
Yeah.
So we spent about 45 minutes in the same way that we're now very gently grilling Michael about his obsession with sport coats. We did the same discussion, this very strange trip that he took to Italy alone. And apparently it was the perfect scenario to wear a tailored sport jacket that you bought on eBay. Is that right?
Yes. My fantasy did come true for this very brief window. I would walk around Italy in a sport coat.
Untethered by your new wife.
Yes. So I had this little list of restaurants that I wanted to eat at. And I didn't have reservations. So I thought,
Michael,
these restaurants.
Most restaurants don't take reservations for one.
I didn't even try. But I thought, if I show up in a little sport coat, like a little gentleman, and I say that I want to eat at this restaurant alone, they'll think, oh, I must really want to eat at the restaurant. And they'll be honored. They'll like find a table for me. And it always worked. These weren't easy places to get into, but they would find a little table off to the side. And I was really having a disgusting little fantasy of being this well-dressed man walking around eating at nice restaurants. It was just a fun thing to do. And I had one of the greatest nights of my life where I got into this restaurant in the middle of Rome at 10:30 p.m. It was the first time they had a table. And I look up and I'm sitting. Can I say the name of a famous person?
Yes, you can.
Of course.
We allow our guests to talk about famous people. Yes.
Okay. So I don't mean any disrespect to this person. It's just something that happened to me and it was interesting and I'm glad it happened. So I look up and the director, Paul Haggis, is a table away from me. It couldn't be more than 5 feet away. And I just looked up twice. I was like a glance. And I'm just sitting alone in like a little buttoned up shirt and a jacket. And I'm not staring. I just glance. I haven't spoken English. So there's no reason he would think that I was an American. And The second time I look up, he looks right. He's already looking at me, and we lock eyes. It's not a large restaurant. It's a small restaurant. It's quite fancy. And he goes, "Hey, how you doing? Having a good night? How's your night going?"
Aggressive.
And it's chilling. Yeah, like just right. Everything goes quiet.
Right.
And I stutter, I'm having, you know, having a nice night. Thank you. How are you? It's great. And I have no idea what I've done. And now I'm just red-faced and trying not to bother him. And I realized later I have a theory about what happened.
He was probably wondering where your wife was.
Well, that was probably it. Like, what is this man with a wedding ring on his finger dining out at this restaurant alone in Italy? Dressed in
the wedding ring, like shiny as a freshly polished mirror. Certainly, this man was recently married. Where's his wife?
Well, he probably recognized the sport coat I was wearing from eBay. He probably seen it and knew that I was the one who got
you outbid him. Yes.
Yeah.
He was envious of the deal. I think what happened, and just a theory, is later I read that he left Scientology.
Right.
And I think that I was dressed like a Scientologist, and that he thought I was there to intimidate him or spy on him or something.
Michael, I don't think that theory is far-fetched. We're going to be getting a lot of the Scientologists mad at us after this, but I think there might be some truth to that, Michael.
Yes, I think it's something that they would do. I think if a lone Scientologist was sent out to just keep tabs on you and bother you, they would look exactly like me.
How many of the jackets that you purchased on eBay were previously owned by Scientologists, would you say?
Yeah.
That's not in the item description, but I can ask.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
I have more jacket-related questions, just because I'm so very intrigued by this. Have you ever been to an actual tailor?
Yes. I used to live in downtown New York on 12th Street, and there was this little tailor that opened up around the corner from me. And tailoring is very expensive, so if you can find a deal on tailoring, it's very exciting because there's like all these clothes that you want to fix a little bit. And everyone in the neighborhood found out that this guy was charging reasonable prices. And he was literally like just a small man underneath a mountain of fabric. He was just like 6 months behind on everything he promised to get back to people. And you would open the door and he would literally shiver in fear that another person had come and that you might want to pick up your jacket. Anyway, just the whole like concept of tailoring, getting something that fits you, it's a very satisfying.
It changes the whole outfit. And that's what I find to be the trouble with ladies' jeans. Although now I think all pants are big for the spring and the summer. I think the new trend is that it's just big pants, which is great, because I wouldn't imagine that requires tailoring.
At Costco, that's always been the trend.
Yeah, when do they take things in at Costco? Like,
yeah, tailoring is included.
No. The only thing that at Costco is the number of X's preceding the size at Costco. They have got stacks of single, double, triple, and quadruple X's.
Does Costco have their own suit line, or do they carry?
I have yet to see a suit at Costco, just a sweatsuit, you know, the track suits.
Yeah,
unfortunately. No evening wear.
I have a thing that's like a top of the mountain fantasy, which is that I've had things that are made to measure, which I think are basically a suit that's already made and they will take it in so it fits you.
These are things that you bought online?
No. So I would say 80% of the things I own are things I bought online and they just are hanging there.
Right.
Then there's this one suit that I have that was made to fit my body and it's a really nice suit to wear. But what I've never had, and nobody cares, nobody says it looks better. I think it's better because I went to the trouble. But the fantasy is a bespoke suit.
Right.
And that's what I can't tell. Is it worth doing? Like, is that worth?
Bespoke means something that's made for you. Is that
right?
They
measure your body and then they sew a suit together.
Michael, I would advise against that. You're never going to wear it.
Body.
No, unless you want to be buried in it because there's no occasion for you. Do you see any event in your near future that would call?
I have a tuxedo that I've never worn. I already have a suit or two. I don't know. I would make myself wear it. I'd dress up and go.
Well, that's kind of my question, Michael. You have all, and I know this because I've seen them with my own eyes. You continue to hold on to all of these jackets and coats, some of these suits that have been tailored. What is your plan with most of them?
I don't know. The next thing would be to acquire like a cane or something and just turn it into a real personality. I think that if we move, I should just use that opportunity to get rid of all of this.
It doesn't take a move. You can donate them without a move.
I'm not kidding. There have been times where I prayed for some kind of a flood or a burst pipe to take care of this for me. I can't bring myself to get rid of all these things because they have memory. Like I do associate them, like those jackets that I wore to Italy, I get more out of looking at those jackets than I get out of looking at photographs.
And that's right. And that's two or three jackets. Fine. But you have like 40, right?
Maybe. What I don't understand is why I haven't gotten rid of things that don't fit me. I have things that are too large and too small. And
well, everybody has trouble. It's just a matter of going through it.
Well, Michael, I might be able to help you out here. I'm sure you've thought of this yourself. But my sister had a boyfriend who seemed to have the exact same fascination that you do with buying clothes online. He was, I think, less coat focused and more couture fashion focused.
Yes.
I mean that's a real problem.
Poofy clothes, furry clothes, just strange items of clothes. But what was weirder
to
me...
What is he trying to prove?
Exactly. But what was even stranger to me, although I think may have had some wisdom to it, was that the other half of his obsession was reselling them. So he was actually arbitraging his wardrobe.
Well, that's a road that I don't want to go down. I thought about it because there was a point where I thought, well, it's okay if I kept ordering these things because there was a website called Poshmark. And I got things from there and they encourage you to sell them. And I did once. I had something that was just too nice to like get rid of it. So I sold it for very little money, but I felt better because I thought that then someone who likes it will get it. But
it's
time consuming.
Time consuming. But first of all, define arbitrage for me. Scott?
To just systematically sell things for more than you buy them. And make a profit.
Exactly.
So what this guy would do is he would buy these clothes that fit him. I think he did the same sort of sizing stuff that you do, Michael. They would arrive. He would photograph them fresh out of the box. Then he'd wear them for like a month. And then he would post the photographs of the items that he'd taken before he wore them and then resell them.
I don't like
often
that
on a different site.
I don't like
in
that
order to make more money. So he was like profiting from his clothes. And yet, from what my sister said, his closet was typically close to bare because it was just a wasting.
To me, it's just like you're putting energy that should go to like people buy and sell companies for fortunes to put the same energy into a jacket. It seems just psychotic.
That's that's arbitrage. Yeah, that's crazy. And the question is there something morally wrong about that? Is there? I can't tell. I mean, I've just been presented.
It's a little shady. So.
You don't buy anything from these sites expecting it to be unworn. I mean, you know what it is.
Yeah, that's true. But he's basically
about profit. I find unseemly.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, if I sold something, I would sell it for less than I bought it for, just because I know that it's older now. Are jackets like houses? I mean, do they go up? Is there a market for
jackets? Are like houses. And
it's a seller's market for sweaters right now.
Michael, it's funny you should say that, because I was hoping to gently lead us into the realm of sweaters and pullovers in the same family, I would say, as coats and jackets. And Scott was, I noticed, very diplomatic to use the word fascination earlier. And I'm going to continue to use the word obsession, because that has now bled into soft cardigans and sweaters and hoodies even. And I want to know, that too, the closet is bursting forth with these. I guess we shouldn't name brands in here. None of them particularly.
No, I think it's fine. There's a brand that I do want to mention because I love them. And it's a British company called Universal Works. And I kept buying things from this company. And I don't think any of it looked good on me. But I had this strange need to acquire things. It was very unhealthy.
What is the hole in your life, and maybe perhaps in your family life or your marital life, that is being filled, do you think?
Well, I don't think that's what it is. And I'm not saying that just to be diplomatic.
I don't know.
That it has to do with anxiety. I think that when I get anxious about something,
that's your coping.
It's something meaningless to focus on.
Right. That some people becomes have a little cocaine, task. Some people have gambling.
Yes. Yeah, I think basically it's a benign form of gambling. That's how I see it. But it's not benign to you because you have like 19 cardigans stuffing in your face.
It's just
you have to fold your dresses.
We live in a New York City apartment. There's not endless space. It's very finite.
Yeah.
And I would say 98% of the finiteness is filled with Universal Works, various shades of gray cardigans. He also likes a company, now that we're naming companies, named Faraday, which I think might be recognizable to people.
That's more for fun. I mean, they just make comfortable clothes.
But when do you wear these fun clothes?
They don't get worn. Then I put them on. I prance around the apartment for a half hour, usually when you're gone, and then I go back in the closet. I mean, half the time you leave, as soon as I hear the door click and I know I'm safe, like I'm off trying on my vests and cardigans. It's a sick life. You don't know what you married. I mean, you have no idea. Have you seen the documentary Herb and Dorothy?
No.
They're a sweet couple, but it's about this couple who started collecting modern art in the 60s. They both worked for the post office, and they had such an incredible eye for new artists and their work that they were able to collect things by like Chuck Close and Robert Rauschenberg, like people whose work became priceless. They got it for like nothing. And they crammed it all into a one bedroom New York apartment. They had paintings under their beds, stuffed in closets, hanging from their ceilings.
Yeah.
And it became a priceless collection. And they eventually just gave the whole thing to the National Gallery in Washington, D.C. And they have a wing named after these people. And I think on some level, I thought that I was doing that. Like, I thought I was amassing this collection of sweater vests that was going to be like worth something one day because I've put it all together and I've curated it. But it's a complete meaningless pile of garbage.
There's this closet full of toys and games for the kids. We have two sons, for those of you who have never listened to this podcast before. And it's like overrun with this soft outerwear. And they're like, where's Connect Four? I can't find Chutes and Ladders. And it's like, oh, it's behind the sweater vest on the right.
Yeah, check behind my wool section.
Can I ask a question, Michael? Mm-hmm. My uncle has almost the opposite intuition that you do. He's like, nobody notices the suit, but everybody notices the tie. So he has like regular suits from Macy's or whatever, but then he spends a lot of money on these very fancy textured ties. So
yeah, my take is probably he notices. I don't think most people care. So I think it makes him feel good when he opens his tie drawer, he sees these nice patterns and nice little weaves, and it feels good putting them on. It makes him feel like he has self-respect. So I think that's what it is. I think a neurologist or somebody with a better understanding of psychology than I have would have to explain it to me, but there is something that goes kind of deep with clothing and what it makes you feel. And yeah. I don't know why one thing does and another doesn't. I mean, most of the shirts that I own, they've lasted forever that I bought from like Banana Republic or something. I've had them, a lot of them, for 20 years, but they don't mean anything to me. And then some other little article of clothing that I hardly ever wear is weirdly precious. And it's mysterious.
Is that beeping from your window, Michael?
It is. I think so.
I'll just wait a second.
This might be the most fascinating part of the conversation.
It is a gently profound note to end this conversation on. I'm glad that your jackets bring you so much joy, Michael. And I think that you're probably right that everyone's got their little joy. Maybe it's clothing. Maybe it's something else. But
maybe it's gambling. Maybe it's cocaine. But there's something that brings meaning and purpose to everyone's life. And Michael, I'm poking fun, but we are so happy that you've found joy in jackets.
I'm so glad it brought you some happiness.
Well, it brought me happiness, Michael. I hope you have a couple of minutes to stick around while we play our game, Love It or Loathe It. Fantastic. So stick around for Love It or Loathe It with Michael Komen.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Okay, everybody, we are here with the inimitable Michael Komen still. Michael, have I ever described you as inimitable before?
No, you're usually saying I'm very
imitable. Anyone can imitate him. Michael, we are going to play one of our favorite games and our only game. It's called Love It or Loathe It. And what we're going to do is present you with some items. They might be food, an activity, a sport, anything in the world. Sure. And we want you to tell us if you love that thing or you loathe that thing. Now, I want to tell you that there's no in between, Michael. You can't feel lukewarm about something. You're all in or you're all out. And we want you to tell us why.
Okay. So whichever way I'm tipping, I should just push
my Yes, knowledge. You love it. That's exactly right. First one, love it or loathe it, Michael, running.
Oh, easy. I loathe it. I despise running. Yes. When I buy gifts for Ellie, the only area that I actually feel like I can depend on is running gear.
Once I saw, it was years ago, my birthday, which is May 2nd, was approaching, and I saw on a notepad some doodlings, and it said, Ellie's interests, and it said, running and frozen yogurt. And those were the two interests. Michael was clearly brainstorming for my birthday, and you know what, Michael? Not much has changed. Those are my two main areas of interest, I would say.
It's not complicated.
Have you ever gone on a run with Ellie?
Not intentionally. We might have been out once and we were going downhill or something. We started picking
But not
up
like
pace.
In early courtship phase, you were never like felt compelled to join her on a run.
No, I never offered. I didn't care if it would bring us closer. It wasn't even.
It's never even come up.
But Ellie is never invited. I don't recall you ever, Ellie, asking me to go with her on a run.
No. In fairness, I don't like to run with anyone. But that is so interesting. It's never even crossed either of our minds.
That's strange.
Okay, so that's a hard no. You loathe running. We get it. Opposites attract. Okay, Michael, love it or loathe it? Going on vacations without your wife.
Of course, I love it. I absolutely love traveling alone. I love doing anything alone.
Sure.
I mean, I love you. I'm not going to,
as
some joke imply that I like going somewhere because you're not. I love you. But I love traveling by myself.
What's the last trip? Well, actually, you just took a trip by yourself, but it wasn't really a vacation, was it?
The last time I remember going someplace alone was to your brother's birthday. I went to Italy.
Is that a different Italy trip?
Yes.
But you have been to Italy two times. You've been to Italy two times without Ellie.
Yes.
And you know why I couldn't go? I couldn't go on the second trip because I was working. Michael was just off prancing around Italy. Anyway.
Have you been on a solo trip without Ellie to any place other than Italy?
That's a good question. I don't think so. We went to Japan together. Gosh, we need to go somewhere.
Well, this is not the time to plan our next trip. But yes, he loves going on trips without your wife. All right, fair enough. But it's true.
I would prefer to go with you, but if I have to go, I will. I would prefer to go with you than anyone else, even.
Scott.
I'm not offended in the least. Love it or loathe it, umbrellas.
Ah, I love them. Because they're like canes. You can twirl them.
Michael, let me clarify.
Ellie had the most confused look I think I've ever seen in this podcast. She was astonished.
I was astonished by your blatant lie because what I want to know is, I'll admit, I put umbrellas on the list. Maybe I'll specify. Kids' umbrellas.
Oh, you mean how miserable I get when I'm told that I have to bring them home from school?
Or just anything involving a kid's umbrella. Maybe I'll answer this one.
Yes, somebody else's umbrella I have no interest in.
But it's you also are like, you spiral out of control. You're like, well, how will I carry this and my bag? It'll throw my whole body off balance. Taking a child's umbrella either home with you or leaving it at school, you're totally thrown by it. It's
bizarre.
You know,
when people talk about marriages, they're always saying, you know, it's a mystery, like your spouse can be a mystery to you.
Right.
That I don't think that's true. I feel like I know you really well. What always shocks me is finding out how you see me, that I am this sort of little, like, screeching, high maintenance guy who can't handle a small umbrella when it's put in his hand. That's when I realize, like, oh, right.
I don't think that's how the person I'm married to thinks she's married to. I think that's how you're seen. I don't think it's just me.
I guess, but you're the only real reflection.
That's right. Well, I think that's true in any couple. And isn't it endearing, Michael? Everybody loves the little quirks about you. So, Michael, love it or loathe it? Sending food back at a restaurant.
Oh, well. That's a good question. I guess I loathe doing it, but I've done it. I really don't like
it. What are
Well, this is a good example. We went to lunch a few months ago with our kids, and it was a crowded Sunday diner, and there was a line outside, and we got in, and our kids were like rotating in their chairs. They were so hungry and impatient. And so I said to the waiter, if it's possible just to bring their food out, that's the only thing that matters. And so they brought our son like a hamburger and chicken fingers. And I took a bite of our 4-year-old's chicken fingers, and it was like just bread. And I thought like, oh no, this is no chicken in here. And then he like ate one right away and he liked it. And then I took a closer look, and the inside of the chicken finger was just raw chicken. It was completely uncooked. And this has never happened before. I think Ellie was in the bathroom.
I was in the bathroom when they brought the food out. Yeah.
Yeah. So she didn't see this part. But I actually disconnected from my like conscious brain. And I started doing things without making a plan. I just found myself standing in the kitchen asking who was in charge of the fryer. And I was like, who made this? Who did it? And amazingly, they didn't throw me out. They're like, what is that? And I said, there's a piece of raw chicken. My son just ate this. And the guy who worked there, I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, kind of embarrassed because they weren't like arguing with me. They were just like, sorry.
They understood our concern.
And then they kept saying like, the next time you come here, we are taking care of everything. And I almost wasted my breath saying like, what? You gave us raw chicken. I'm not coming back. I don't want a coupon. Let's just get out of here. But I thought like, oh my God, we're going to have to go to an emergency room. But anyways, I didn't enjoy that. I didn't like
that. Was you like literally, you weren't even sending food back. You brought it back to the kitchen.
Yeah, I walked it back to the kitchen and handed it to them.
Right. But you didn't
so
enjoy
that
it.
Was bad. So I hate it.
Well, I have to say, Michael, now I'm even more convinced than I was that you're one of the best dads in the world. Because the reason that this item is on the list is because we all had dinner together and got into a long conversation about whether or not it was appropriate to send a salad back if you found a dead bug in it. And your position at the time was Americans are too entitled and like, just eat your salad. And I yes. took it to mean that you're a rugged stoic, yeah. which I respect.
Yeah,
I do have a real belief that for the most part, people have a sense that they're owed something by businesses.
The sense is that they pay for it.
And I respect that. I don't always necessarily agree with it. But what's interesting to me about the chicken story is that when the rubber meets the road, right. especially when it comes to your sons, you're going to march into the kitchen itself and confront whoever was responsible. So a bug in your salad, raw chicken for you, probably, you suck it up and take it. But with your children,
yeah.
like, you turn Michael, into a kind of a banshee.
Yes. Thanks, Michael, what would you that have done had bad. Your own chicken fingers been raw? Would you have said anything or just not eaten it?
I think completely raw, like images of an emergency room start going through my mind. I would say, I think the chicken was a little undercooked, and I would show them, but I would be kind of underselling it with the hope that when they saw it, they'd be like, oh my gosh,
right.
this guy is underselling it. I mean, this is raw chicken. So I would have a bit of a plan. It was one of the only times where I've had a true like paternal instinct kick in where I felt like someone has to answer for my son's chicken.
Right, right. You were blind with rage. You were thrusting the raw chicken in my face. Look at this, look at this! And then before I knew it, you were back in the kitchen demanding to know the name of the person who cooked that or who didn't cook it, I should say. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that you loathe it. I agree with that.
I did try to sell them a couple of old sport coats before.
The final love it or loathe it, Michael, wedding proposals.
Oh boy, I love them.
You love them so much. You did it 3 times for me. All's well that ends well. But Michael, in the interest of time, you proposed to me 3 times, each one sort of kind of an actual proposal.
Well, look, I'll just say this. I assume everyone in this world is happy with the person that they've married. I am the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
Thank you.
And it's the one area where I really think I did fall down a bit was the wedding proposal. But I am so grateful to you for marrying me.
I'll sum it up. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael.
That's true.
Okay. I was about to say, we do keep the show light. So we'll have a nice little serious moment.
Okay.
Michael proposed to me once, I would say 2 years before we actually got married. And then
he's telling people our business.
And then like a year later, he was like, and when we get married, and I said, oh, are you, is this? And then he said, well, you had talked to your dad. He's like, well, I talked to your dad. And I was like, are you married? What?
I thought you only asked the dad. I thought I would talk to dad and then he would ask you. And I was wondering why he hadn't gotten to.
The second time Michael had flown to St. Louis, there was a tornado. In fact, your flight was canceled. You got on the next day to ask my dad for his blessing or whatever you do. And then like 40 years went by and no proposal from Michael. But then eventually Michael was dropping me off at LAX. I was going home to St. Louis and you asked me in the car. It all worked out.
Well, I was waiting for another tornado. I thought that would make it special.
A bookend?
Yeah.
Michael Coleman loves wedding proposals. One was not enough. We joke, but I'm very lucky to be married to you. But that's not what this episode is about. It's about your love of coats and jackets. Michael, is there anything that you would like to plug or promote during this time?
Gee, that's so generous. Well, I guess I'm very proud of the last season we made of the How To with John Wilson show. So if people want to check that out, it's on Max.
You can catch it on Max, formerly known as HBO. It's a great show.
Always happy for people to see that. Yeah.
Talk about a show that we love.
I hope so. It was a really fun show to work on.
Yeah, it's great. Michael, thank you for taking the time to chat
with
us.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. Thank you, guys.
Well, we love talking with you, and we love your coats and jackets.
Thank you, Michael.
Well, what a chat with Michael Coleman. I thought that was great.
It was spectacular. I hope that the listeners thought that it was as spectacular as I did doing it and then listening to it again. I need to get some sporty coats, Ellie.
I'm telling you what, let's get coated up and shoot for the moon. Because if we fail, at least we'll fall among the stars. Scott, we don't normally do an outro, but because it is our final episode of season one, we wanted to give some shout outs. So, first and foremost, and maybe only, we want to thank our fabulous producers who have worked tirelessly to help us. Scott and I had not done a podcast before. These people helped us get it right. They put in endless hours to answer our naive questions. They are such good, kind people on top of everything else. So we are very grateful to them for helping us throughout this and making our podcast as good as it is. So we want to thank Aaron Kaufman, Zoe Dankla, and Sheena Ozaki for putting their all into this. Thank you to them.
They're the triumvirate of podcast producers. We couldn't be more grateful. Thank you. Zoe and Aaron worked on another podcast that we suggest you check out. I love it. It's called City of the Rails. It's a miniseries narrative podcast about riding the rails in the United States of America in the 21st century. Guys, there's hobos. They do interesting stuff. A journalist is on a hunt for her daughter. It's a great podcast. They did great work on it. Check it out, City of the Rails.
And guess what, Scott? Sheena worked on it too. The great triumvirate worked on City of the Rails, and I can't recommend it highly enough. So go on to listen to that while you're waiting for our second season. And thank you, the listeners, for listening to our first season. What a ride. We hope that you picked up some new loves. We hope that you felt a little bit of joy for the 30 minutes Scott and I talked loudly about things. And I hope that you... I was about to wish them a happy summer, Scott.
Happy summer, guys. Happy summer.
Stay cool, man. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.